I stand here sometimes in front of you and say, I don't get this scripture, or I don't like this scripture, or is there more to this scripture? It's what I do, it's what we do. We look at the scripture and we try to see how these passages apply to our life today. It's why we call this a living, breathing Word of God, because we believe it can still speak to us today. Today's scripture isn't a difficult one to understand. It's a pretty easy story, isn't it? A king forgave his slave, he went right out and didn't forgive. We pretty much know what this is trying to tell us today. But we don't have to like it, do we? Because it goes against what we want and what we feel. When someone does us wrong, we don't want to forgive, do we? And this scripture tells us to forgive. And forgiveness is just not a fun concept. Oh, we want it. When we do something wrong or we do something bad, we want forgiveness, don't we? It's a little bit harder to give. And I'll be honest, I'm right there with you. It's not the person that cuts you off in traffic that's hard to forgive. It's not the person who bumps into you in a crowded restaurant. It's not even the person who cuts in front of you in line. They're not the ones that are hard to forgive long term. It's not even the friend or family member that disagrees with you or makes fun of you or says something that bothers you. The one that's hard is that person who hurts you down deep. That person who, even years later, when you think about it or see them, you have a physical reaction, a physical manifestation of pain. That's the kind of hurt that we have a hard time forgiving, isn't it? Or better yet, it's that hurt where the person we're trying to forgive doesn't want forgiveness. They don't see where they've done anything to be given for, and yet we know down deep that we need to forgive. I've always found it easy to say to myself, well, I could forgive if they would just ask. Or if they acted like they knew they had done something wrong to hurt me. But could I really? Or maybe the bigger lie that I tell myself is that I have forgiven them. I have forgiven. But then every time, it wells up inside of me. Maybe I've forgiven, but I haven't forgotten. In which case have I really forgiven? I admit that both of those comments have merit, in that we do naturally protect ourselves against being hurt over and over again. And I think God understands that of us. And I know that there are people who are hurt deeply by others, maybe someone who was physically dangerous or abusive. And I think God understands our need to distance and our difficulty in forgiving those kind of instances. So while this passage on the surface is very easy to understand, God forgives you, you should forgive others. I've been wondering, is this passage as much about the forgiven, or is it maybe also about the person being forgiven? Not the forgiver, but the forgiven. David Luce, who is one of the writers that I like to read every week, he talked this week about Luther, Martin Luther, that is. And he said this: as we approach the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, it occurs to me that Luther's greatest insight was simply realizing that righteousness was not God's expectation, but instead God's gift. It wasn't his responsibility to be right with God, but God's responsibility to put him right. And once he realized that some of God's favorite things to do are to forgive those who seem unforgivable, love those who feel unlovable, and make right those things that seem so persistently in the wrong. Once he realized that, Luther was not only freed from his fear of punishment, but he was also free to love and forgive and care about those around him. So I looked at this passage thinking about that statement. Did the man whose debt was forgiven really feel forgiven? Did he really know that he was no longer in debt? Did he feel like the king had forgiven him completely? And like Kevin said, did he feel like the king had taken the slate and wiped it clean and said, you are new and free? Or did he, in his own way, still believe that he had a weight of debt to fulfill? Obviously, others had not forgiven this man, because the minute he slipped up, they turned him in to the king. And maybe even the king had people watching him, I don't know. But had the king really forgiven him? No, because the minute he did something the king didn't approve of, the king scooped him up and placed him away. Is it possible that the only way we can really forgive someone else is if we have felt forgiveness ourselves? True forgiveness. Obviously, this man had had others who hadn't forgiven him because he had had a weight and years of debt build up. It's that kind of pain, that kind of forgiveness that doesn't come back in 10 years to haunt you. The kind of forgiveness where no one says, do you remember that time? How do we forgive if we don't really deep down understand forgiveness? I can say this because I am an apologizer. Kevin and I laugh at one another because we both are apologizers. But have you ever met anyone who apologizes for everything? I know someone. No one in this church. I know someone who says, "I'm sorry for everything." I think if you were to take off and just knock their block off, they would immediately say, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And I have a couple of problems that I worry about this person, because they can't possibly believe that everything in this world is wrong because of them. But I feel like they do. And then the other thing is that they apologize for a lot of things over and over again, and they never change the behavior they apologize for. If you say to me, "I am so sorry I haven't called you," and you say that every time I see you, I don't really believe that you're sorry that you've never called me. The amazing part of the story of forgiveness is that the slave was not asked to apologize. The slave was not asked to make a statement before the king forgave his debt. The slave lowered himself and said, "Please give me time. Give me time to make this right." And the king said, "You don't have to pay a penny back." And in all honesty, there was no way that that slave could ever pay back what he owed. It was more than he would ever make in a lifetime. But have you ever experienced that kind of forgiveness? More than you could possibly ask for without having to ask? Is it even in your realm of possibility? Can you forgive if you don't believe forgiveness is a possibility? I admit that this has given me reasons this week to really pause and think. How do I, as a child of God, believe and understand and know the depth of my being that God forgives me? Forgives me of every one of my faults, whether I see them or not. And I thought about all the scriptures that show me that God forgives. God sending his son to the world in the first place, sending perfection into a world of imperfection to show how to live and love and forgive. Watching Jesus forgive the woman at the well. Remembering stories of Jesus when someone touched the hem of his garment. Remembering Jesus with the woman being stoned and saying, "No one condemns you, and neither do I." Over and over, we see examples of forgiveness in this living, breathing word. So the biggest difficulty in this story is that this slave had this amazing life-changing thing happen, and he was really untouched by it. He goes out and his life has not been changed. He didn't allow this amazing event to set him free. Do we allow forgiveness offered by God through Jesus Christ? Do we allow it to set us free? Not free to do whatever we want to, but free to live an amazing life for God. Do we allow it to change us into new creatures? If we do, then we begin, maybe slowly, but we begin to believe in forgiveness. And we can see our way to forgive. Matt Swatzel, after a long shift at the fire department, was driving home from work. And he fell asleep while he was driving, and he crashed into another vehicle. In that crash, he took the life of June Fitzgerald, who was a pregnant mother. And the wreck injured their 19-month-old daughter. On the day of his sentencing, Fitzgerald's husband, who was a full-time pastor, asked the judge to diminish the man's sentence to time served. Once the man was released, he began meeting with Matt for coffee every week. Fitzgerald, when asked how he could possibly befriend this person who took the life of his wife and injured his child, he replied, "You forgive as you've been forgiven." It takes understanding. It takes believing in forgiveness. It takes believing that grand forgiveness is available only through God. And if we believe that, then we can practice that. May we be forgiven people, and may we be forgiving people. Amen.